Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
La ilaha illallah.
Hey listeners, this is when you're making your personal prayer prior to the second call, and then we go to hear the khutbah from the khatib, the imam. So if you're making your sunnah rakah, inshallah, God willing, personal prayer.
نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن بك يا عز وجل أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ورمضان مبارك. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise due to Allah, the God and evolving, the cherishing, the sustain of all the worlds. We seek his assistance and beg his forgiveness for our sins and ignorance, errors and omissions, etc. We openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, having no partners or associates. And we openly bear witness Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of 1400 years ago as his servant, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and his blessings. Dear beloved Muslims, we again thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is he, and most high, for blessing us to see another day, the best of days, al-Jumu'ah, the day on which Adam alayhi salam was created, and the day of resurrection, And we're grateful to Allah for blessing us to have the presence of body, mind, and spirit to be here in the Musalla, the place of prayer, at this time. Many of us, or some of us, can't be here for various reasons, medical reasons, and others. And we pray Allah will lighten their difficulties and restore them to health, mental health, physical health, etc. We always begin with the pure word of Allah, that is Al-Quran Kareem, the generous and noble Quran. Kitab Allah, the book of God, and also Kitabuna, our book. This is Allah's book. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allah, lay me Allah, forgive me sins, grant him the highest place in the paradise. He told us the Quran is not saying nothing. This is Allah talking for those of us who believe. So there's believers and disbelievers. As the Quran says, some take this to be nothing but nonsense. And they think that they have the highest wisdom. But Allah says to us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. Laylatul qadri qadrin min alfi shahrin. تَنَازَلُوا مَلَائِكَاتُ وَرُوحًا فِيهِ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُولِ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَئِ الْفَجْرِ. Lightly translated, friend Imam Earl El-Amin says, بِسْمِ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We have indeed revealed this message in the night of power. And what will explain to you what the night of power is? The night of power is better than 1,000 months. Therein come down the angels and the spirit by Allah's permission on every errand. Salamun. This until Hatta, the rise of the morning, or Fajr. So literalists refer to some particular night in the calendar. They say the odd nights, right? The 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, the 29th. No one knows when the night of power is. They tell us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he knew the night of power, and two brothers started arguing and bickering, and he went to straighten them out, and he forgot. But how can he forget that you're arguing and you're bickering over petty and insignificant things cause distractions and cause harm? We'll talk about that a little bit later. We got to get away from that. And we are told that during this month that we should say three times. Why you got to say it three times? But they ain't going to get it the first time. And they ain't going to get it the second time. They might not get it the third time. But you tell them three times, I'm fasting. When they try to irritate you, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. And the brother Ted told me he said that to his wife, and she said, I'm fasting too. See, that some people, they ain't trying to hear that. You're fasting, but I'm not. And we're told that during this month that the gates of the Jannah, the paradise, are open, and the gates of the Jahannam, the hellfire, is locked up. And you know, during the many years that I've been blessed to fast the month of Ramadan, I say, I don't see that. I see the naked women are still naked. The crazy people are still crazy. And one of the imams was teaching one time. He said, no, your devil is locked up because you fasted. Huh? The gates of paradise are open for you because you're following the guidance. You're being obedient. So you're not going to plug into it. So you have to give energy to it. They say, don't give that no energy. My mother used to say, you can't argue by itself. And I used to say, but I want to argue with him. Allah said, tell them that you fasted. Don't participate in that. And you know, that's something I taught to my grandson. And we were reading a book of his, The Grumpy Monkey or something like that. And I said, don't become what? He said, angry. Don't become angry. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't address those things that are injustices, but don't let the spirit of anger take over you. And I taught an anger management course one time, and my wife laughed. She said, you? Why'd they pick you? I said, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the methodologies that the imam used, and I saw him use that with children and adults too, in order to get the best out of them, and you know that, those of you, Sister Sharifa, and those who taught young children, instead of just criticizing them on the things that they're doing wrong, compliment them on the things that they're doing right as a psychology, and it will begin to strengthen them. The man said he was working a job one time, and it was a brother that had some feminine type ways. He said, and the brother came to him and said, they're saying that I'm a sissy. And the imam said, I said to him, you as strong and masculine as you are? He said, when I was talking to him, I could see him strengthening up in his spirit. But some people just have that way. I've even seen Muslims like that. Yeah. And, you know, Allah said we put the best construction on it, you know. But they just had more exaggerated, what was called feminine-type tendencies. Doesn't mean anything else. And my grandson was so wise that when he read the book, it made me laugh because he was He said, it's such a beautiful day. Some people are like that, right? And he's just mad. The sun is shining. The sky is bright. The birds are chirping. And my grandson said, there's something going on with him. I don't know where he got that from, but definitely something going on. I don't know if his mother said that to him. What's going on with you? But he sure said it. So when you, and I saw the man relate to his children, other children that way, feed their strength, and their strength will extinguish their weakness. Psychology. For us too, during this month of Ramadan. Huh? Alhamdulillah. We have revealed, indeed revealed it in the night of power. Literalists refer to some particular night in the calendar, but there is no agreement as to which it is. How come? For nobody knows when the night of power is. And the imam said he was talking to one of his Arabic teachers. It was a brother. He had, Honorable Elijah Muhammad had hired several Arabic teachers for him. You know, Jibril Diab and others. And this particular brother was the last one. He was a Jordanian brother from Jordan. And the man said he ran into him, and he hadn't seen him in quite some time. He said, wow, you look good. You look younger. Look like you're 10 years younger. And they were talking about the night of power. And he said, the brother said, you know, most people believe, many of the scholars think, that the night of power is referring to the revelation of the Quran. He said, but it doesn't say that anywhere in the surah, does it? And the imam said, you're right. It doesn't say that. It says, what will explain to you what the night of power is? The night of power is better than 1,000 months. Didn't tell you what it was. If I say I got a deal for you that's worth more than $1 million, you still don't know what the deal is, do you? You might say, I'll take it. I said, don't be so quick to jump on it. You know, in doing business, the brother told me, brother, they got a $1 million contract for us. I said, it sounds good. But the devil is in the details. What's it going to cost us to fulfill that contract? And as you begin to look at it, you say, that $1 million is just to get your ears to perk up. No, we don't want that one. What's the profit in it? Track is $1 million, but what's it going to cost me to fulfill that contract? So you always have to look. Don't just jump. Don't swing at the first pitch. Therein come down the angels, Malaika, huh? And the spirit, Ruh, the Ruh, by Allah's permission, on every errand of their Lord. So the spirit, or they call the Holy Spirit, right, has a Lord too. For those that think that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is part of the Trinity. No, the Holy Spirit has a Lord and is sent on a mission and an errand. Huh? And what does that word mean? Ruh, ruh. Allah says, after he had created man and breathed into him something of our spirit, ruh, huh? Then bow down to him. So it ain't this flesh. It can be black, doesn't matter. Oh, but it was black. That was the first Adam. What's your point? When you need some, you want a drink of water? You happy to break your fast with some dates and water? You ain't breaking your fast. That water is not for a black man. It's not your blackness that wants some water. No, because the shaitan, the pendulum swung the other way. They said, oh, white. If you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, stick around. But if you're black, get back. That's how they raised us. Huh? So we went in the other direction. The nation said, the black man is God. And the man said, well, he came in. He said he was working at the restaurant one time. He said, come over here and feed the black God. And the man said, I wanted to pop him upside his head. He said, when you went home, your wife knew you wasn't God. Your wife didn't think that. Huh? She knew you were just a man like anybody else. God on the back of the cheese line? The government keys not. So it swung in the other direction. But it was a psychology that they used to build us up, to make us feel good after people saying that you are worthless, you're nothing. Huh? I don't know why she's trying to call me. But, let me record this. Maybe she's telling me that. All right. Alhamdulillah. Yes. So now it's in the other direction. Oh, the sun doesn't hurt us, brother. We don't need sunscreen because we got, can't hear. Bring it low, okay? I don't know why they can't hear. All right. Our melanin, we don't need sunscreen. We don't get sunburned. That's a lie. I've been sunburned plenty of times. Oh, but you light skin. You ain't really black. Huh? No, Allah wants to bring us back to reality. Allah says, Prophet Muhammad told us in his final sermon, he said, there's no superiority over white or black. There's no superiority over black over white. Huh? There's no superiority in an Arab over a non-Arab or a non-Arab over Arab. Superiority only comes in your taqwa. I can't answer the phone when I'm doing the Jummah. All right? That's where your superiority comes, in your obedience to Allah, your fear of Allah, taqwa. Huh? And it says, Salaman hiya hatta. Hatta means until the rise of the morn or the fajr. Huh? That means the peace is not going to last. And talking about the bickering and the disagreement, say, and they didn't fall in, and they didn't lose out until when they got a little knowledge, and they began to differ among themselves. And their power departed. You know, during the prime time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never heard of a Shiite. And I got news for you. He never heard of a Sunni either. Only Muslim. Only one Muslims. Huh? So we fall into dispute. And Shiite, the Quran says, and don't become a party. That's what the word Shiite means. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know what to tell anybody. I don't know what to do. I got my phone on. If they say they can't hear, I don't know why. I hope that helps. Alhamdulillah. No talking during Jummah. The only voice that's heard is the imam's voice, unless I make a mistake, and then you have to say subhanAllah. And you have to be sure that I made a mistake. But I've been told, you did too many rakats, subhanAllah. And if the imam makes a mistake in his recitation, you have to be able to correct him. That means you have to know the Quran. So if you say I recited it wrong, then you got to recite it right. Because you're supposed to pick up where I left off and start reciting it right until I catch on. But if you don't know it, how can you say subhanAllah? Well, I don't know what's right, but I know that was wrong. No good. And there's no imam, sheikh, khatib that's too big that he can't be corrected. And the correction is done in front of everybody. You don't wait till the prayer's over. You correct him right on the spot. He might just be a cab driver, but he knows the Quran. They sent me a video or a picture of the janitor in the hospital. He was the imam, and he was leading the doctors and nurses. He was leading all of them in prayer. So your qualification for being the khatib is the one that gives the khutbah. Your qualification is you, any one of these brothers that know it can do it. Oh, but he didn't go to the Imam's Academy. They ain't no Imam's Academy. Oh, they have schools that you can go to study Arabia, you know, to study Hadith, to learn that they have the Hafiz school. Huh? Will you become a Hafiz of Quran? Will you memorize the Quran? But really, Hafiz means one in whose heart Allah has deposited the Quran. Not just because you memorized it. You can memorize it and know it. Oh, he's a Hafiz. He know it. And me and Imam Bakruddin were together one time, and Allah forgive me, sins, grant the pardon there. And the Hafiz was talking to us, and he was smoking a cigarette. And Imam said, what did Malcolm say? When you got a cigarette, you got a fool on one side and fire on the other. And he's supposed to be he's the Hafiz. And he was arguing with Imam Bakruddin about Malcolm. Imam said, you gonna tell me about Malcolm? He said, you telling me what you read. He said, did you know Malcolm? He said, I was there when he walked through the door. I was there before he got there. And you want to tell me about that? The Imam told us, Malcolm belongs to us. We don't have to say Malcolm who. You already know. We ain't talking about Malcolm Smith. When we say Malcolm, the whole world know who Malcolm is. Malcolm X came through us, nobody else. And they want you, everybody wants to claim Malcolm. I was on a panel one time at the Schomburg, and they were talking about Malcolm's contribution to al-Islam in North America. So they opened up for questions there. So one brother came up there, he was a black nationalist. So the black nationalists claimed Malcolm too. So he said to me, why you ain't talking about Malcolm was a pan-Africanist and Malcolm was a black? Why you ain't talking about that? I said, they didn't invite me here for that. They have a theme, and I'm sticking to the theme. Why don't you put on a panel and you can talk about Malcolm the way you want to talk about him? See, after he left the nation, he started Muslim Mosque Incorporated. And he also founded, they have an African organization of, I believe it's African Unity, and he started the organization African American Unity. Everybody wants to claim Malcolm. And even his daughter. I got into it with his daughter, but I didn't get into it, but we had a little disagreement. She came here. She was one of our speakers one time. And people were saying that if it wasn't for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there wouldn't be no Malcolm. And she said, well, my grandfather was a follower of Marcus Garvey and my mother. My mother was a recording secretary. So we had consciousness before that. But what I didn't want to bust a bubble and say, but we didn't hear about your father from Marcus Garvey. We didn't hear about him till he came out of prison and began to become a minister and preach under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Is that right? So that's the history. So I understand her defending her father, defending her family. You know, but people say, well, he wouldn't have been nothing. He would still have been a hustler. He was still in the street. But it was his sister. They don't give credit to his sister. They give credit to his brother. But his sister was a member of the Nation of Islam. Just like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it was his wife, Sister Clara Muhammad, may Allah forgive her sins, granted, that told him to go down there and listen to Farad Muhammad. It was his wife. He was battling with alcoholism and drinking. So the sisters, our sisters have been the backbone and still continue to be a backbone for us, not only in the church, but also in al-Islam. They're the ones that wear the kimar, not the hijab. So they called me. They wanted me to consult with them, help some research with them about a film and on a Muslim sister, and they asked me some questions. And hijab really means a barrier. If you lived in those shotgun houses, with just one room, you come through the front door and go right out the back. If they want to create some privacy, they'll put up a curtain. Down south they had them. Or they put up a some beads as a curtain, as a barrier. That's hijab. That's what it says in the Quran. Nowadays, the sisters refer to their head covering, which is what? Kibar. They, or I'm a hijabi. So it's a barrier, it's a covering, it covers something, or it blocks something, but the real terminology is kimar. I don't know when they got into this usage of hijab. Alhamdulillah. So let us continue. 1,000 months must be taken in an indefinite sense. I hear people say, oh, 1,000 months is 83 years. They start, you're doing too much, as the young people say. You're doing too much. Don't break it down to the minute, to the hour. For what? As denoting a very long period of time. Huh? As denoting a very long period of time. Okay? Remember, 1,000 months in our estimation is like one day in the sight of Allah. Huh? So we really, Allah is not limited by time and space. You know, in language, you have denotation and connotation of a word. What a word denotes, what a word denotes is, in linguistics and philosophy, the denotation of an expression is its literal meaning. For instance, the English word warm denotes the property of having high temperature. Denotation is contrasted with other aspects of meaning, including connotation. Connotation, what it connotes. So warm, you know, there was a brother who had a bad temper. You know, may Allah forgive him his sins, grant him paradise. And he used to say, Yusuf, these people get me warm. He didn't mean that the temperature, he meant he was getting angry. And hot, too. I'm hot. And I'm hot as, Imam Bakri used to say, I was hot as a biscuit. I was hot as a biscuit, right? The word slide means what? Slide. You mean you can slide into first base in baseball or home. You can put a slide under a microscope. Or they say, I'll let them slide. That's the connotation of the word. So people make that mistake with reading the Quran when they read it. You have to know what context is being used. You know, the imam taught one time, and he used the word asceticism. So I asked him, now I know the word. I'm pretty good in vocabulary, if I say so myself. And the imam said to me, look it up. Now, my feelings wasn't hurt because I had a father. See, when you have that masculine energy, see, a lot of them, you know, a lot of these people are so soft nowadays, you gotta pat them on the, every time you say something, you gotta pat them on the back. My father used to tell me that. That's why I didn't want to say what he said. What you just used, what does it mean? Do you know what it means? I said, yes. He said, what does it mean? Well, so you don't know what it means. What it's like, no, it's not like nothing. What does it mean? If I couldn't give him the dictionary definition of it, he'd say, go look it up. I didn't want to go look it up, but that helped me to build up my vocabulary and also my spelling by looking it up, constantly going to the dictionary, you see? So when the imam told me that, and I'm not going to argue with my leader. I'm sitting there with a bunch of imams. I'm not dumb enough to argue with my leader. And say, I know what it means. I said, yes, sir. But what I was trying to understand was the context in which he used it. He was referring it to Isa ibn Maryam. I wanted to know how he was using it in context to that. But, you know, that's why it's important that we understand. We have reading, but we also have comprehension. Assalamu alaikum. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم dear beloved Muslims. It seems like only yesterday or a week ago, we began the commencement of the month of Ramadan. This is the last Friday in the month. And as we begin to bid farewell to the month of Ramadan, there's a sense of sadness. We hate to see the month go. We can hold on to the spirit that we had in this blessed month. We can hold on to that spirit. And one reason why I had this fundraiser during this month is because, and I wanna read to you what the Imam said about it. You know, this is a blessed month, it's a special month. And the Imam said, believe me, in Ramadan, whatever you are able to do of good in Ramadan, you can do it like a superhuman. Your ability in Ramadan is like superhuman in comparison to what you could do outside of Ramadan. Because you're obeying Allah, you're praying more, you're fasting, and you can feel, even though you might not think you have energy, you have a spiritual energy. So I'm feeling strong right now, even though my throat is dry. I want to drink some water. But we learn that we can conquer our physicality, that our spirituality is over that. It's stronger than that. I'm the boss, not my body. So your urges, and this is what the Night of Power means. It means the thirst in you to look for. You say you're looking for the Night of Power. Your curiosity. You want to obey Allah. You're looking for the 95. How do you know that you found it? No, tonight, definitely the 95. They say that. How do they know such a thing? No one knows. If Prophet Muhammad said he was someone, if he didn't know, how the heck do we know? So that means, really, you're just supposed to have that spirit of searching, of looking for it. And you know. Allah will let, maybe your night of power won't be mine. You know, when I was on Hajj and I was struggling, you know, the Imam said, you listen to the word, Hajj, Hajj. You can hear struggle in it, Hajj. And they asked Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, the sisters, should they go on jihad with us? And the Prophet said, let them make Hajj. So Hajj is a struggle. And I was struggling, you know, before I had my operation on my hip. I was limping all over the place and everything. And a lot of walking, you know, a lot of walking. And it says that let there be no wrangling in the Hajj, no bickering, right? So why is Allah telling us that? That means people are going to get it. You got 100 different languages. You got 100 different countries there, maybe 150 different languages. People are going to get in on each other's nerves. No bickering, no arguing. That means there's occasions going to arise when you're going to want to do that. But you ain't supposed to do it. And a brother told me that he was in the Clan Muhammad, well, his son was in the Clan Muhammad school, Pakistani brother. And Allah bless him. I haven't seen him in years. But when I went to the airport, I hadn't seen him for a long time. Oh, you're going on Hajj, alhamdulillah. He said, let me give you a word of advice. Do it fi sabilillah. Don't worry about the people. The people are going to get on your nerves. The people are going to make you angry. They're going to do all kind of crazy stuff. Don't focus on them. Focus on Allah. Because you focus on people, and even the sisters. There was a group of sisters from Malaysia. That's the first, you wearing these masks now. That's the first time I saw them wearing them surgical masks. I said, oh. It was about 80 of them getting on the plane. It just kept coming. I said, wow. Are they sick? The brother said, no. They're worried about you being sick. I said, well, how come we don't have one? We need to get one too. Because every airborne disease known is there. I was sitting in the harem. I was sitting in the Prophet's mosque, and you hear all over the place. And then, you know, looking at the guy next to you, he getting ready to cough too. They coughing all over the place. And everybody got sick but me. I didn't get sick. I'm talking about Strong Brother, Mutaka Bear, our martial arts care, everybody. I mean, they was on the floor. I didn't get sick. When I felt a little tickle in my throat, I gargled with some salt water, and the Lord blessed me. Now, you know when I got sick? When I came home. But one of these men, I won't tell you who it is, but one of these men told me, I want to go home. I said, but you didn't make art yet. He said, did you hear what I said? He said, if I could get a flight out of here, I'd be gone. We went to see he was in another hospital. We went to visit him. He was on the floor. They were literally on the floor. So when you go, you know, you have to, the sister made a mouthwash that's supposed to help you with that. Sister from our community, she made a mouthwash. Alhamdulillah. But we want to look at that word, right? We want to look at the word revelation, spirit, soul, human soul, Jibril, angel of revelation. Huh? Angel of revelation. Now, so it's important that we don't get into a spirit of arguing and bickering with each other, with our wives, with our friends. I mean, especially during the month of Ramadan. Huh? Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. Allah, there is no God but He. Al-Hayyu, Al-Qayyum. The living, the self, the subsisting. He is the one that questions but cannot be questioned. He questions us, but we can't question him. So that I don't care about your UFOs and your ETs and all that. You're looking for ET on another planet. When you get there, Allah is the Lord of all the worlds, or as the Imam said, all the systems of knowledge. So they have superior technology to us. Allah is the Lord of that too. When you get there, Allah is still in charge. I don't care what planet it is, what solar system it's in. Allah created it all. They want you to, you got to think outside the box. No, you need to be in the box. You need to, don't think outside the box. You ain't mastered the box yet. Please don't think outside the box. So Allah has given us a logic. We have a logic. And Imam, he taught us that Prophet Muhammad was given the book, the wisdom, the ilm, and the logic. Imam say, your feet don't try to get out the bed before your eyes open. You don't get out the bed head first. Well, I'm different. I mean, you do, but I don't. I like to get out head first. Well, we'll come visit you in the hospital. You keep getting out the bed head first. There's a logic to this thing. Allah put the brain, put the head on top of the heart. Huh? The head, which is symbolic for the brain. You got the brain, but the brain is symbolic, not that organ, for the mind. And it's over the heart, which is a symbol of the seat of affections. Huh? So if you just, you should follow your heart. Just take you go wherever your heart go. But your head said, that's not going to work out good for you. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. Well, a husband might set you right. Huh? That's your heart talking. Your brain saying no. That's not your wife. That's somebody else's wife. Huh? And when I was young, I used to ride with a brother, and he was fooling around with somebody's wife, and he said, her husband is in jail. He's supposed to be a killer. Man, I ain't thinking about that. I said, okay. You're living dangerous. He might come home soon. I ain't thinking about that man. But he told me, go knock on the door. I said, huh? He said, ring the bell. I'm 18, 19 years old. And I heard a man's voice say, come in. I went back outside. I said, she'd be out in a minute. He said, what? So when he came there, the guy came to the door with his pajamas on. He had on some pajamas. He said, come on up. He never came up. So we got to think. Just because something feels good, and if it feels good, do it. That's going to get you in trouble. I think it got quite, I'm not looking at anybody, but it got quite a few of us in trouble already. I'm closing my eyes. I don't want you to say I'm picking on you. Huh? So the two brothers argued and made the prophet forget. You think he forgot? You think that was recorded in history for us to say, oh, the prophet forgot that? No, it means that petty arguing and bickering causes problems that we don't need. We don't need those problems. So the Quran is a book of knowledge. It is a book of wisdom. It is a book of guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Arabic, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. This book, there is no faults in it. No error. This is the book. Dalika. No error. No defect. Hudalil mutakin. God for those who believe in God and believe in the unseen. The unseen is more important than the seen. More important. You can't see without the help of a telescope or a microscope. You can see microbes, huh? Germs, bacteria. That's unseen. They were the people before Muhammad. Aladina yukminuna salata, translated, and those who established prayer and given charity, etc. This is describing the activities and life of the people of the book, Jews, Christians, and even people before. So there's the book of guidance to people who had not received scripture. How is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, the book revealed to the unlettered one, to a people who had not received scripture before, that would be the Arabs of the ignorant age in which Muhammad, peace be upon him, lived, called Jahiliyyah. It means, they translate it as pre-Islamic Arabia or the days of ignorance, Jahiliyyah. Huh? A messenger comes from a people who didn't receive scripture before. A messenger is raised up from among them to warn them of that vicinity where the Kaaba is and whoever is in its surroundings, as it says in Arabic, Mahawla, who in the surroundings? Everybody, because we come from all parts of the earth or parts of the world, and we make pilgrimage there. So it was a reference to what was going to come about in time, and it did not take long. The religion spread fast under Muhammad, the prophet's leadership. Huh? Alhamdulillah. So this is what we're celebrating. That Allah gave, can you imagine? I can. It's almost like trying to imagine. You can't remember your life before a cell phone. You can't. Huh? But we lived without cell phone. You had to be home. And it wasn't no answering machine either. If you wasn't there, you had to call back, keep calling. Huh? I can't imagine my life with the trials and tribulations that we all go through and went through. I'm grateful to Allah to have this guidance. Creation, Allah created, you know, there was a big thunderstorm, thunder and lightning when I was in Atlanta, and my grandson, he jumped up out the bed. He was scared. And I said, come on, go on back. Come on, let's go back to bed. And I started showing him things about lightning. And Allah talks about it. We said the lightning by way of both fear and hope and thunder. That is natural phenomena from Allah. Like we had an earthquake today. My house got shaking on one side. And I said, what are them neighbors doing next door? What the hell are they doing over there? They working on something and shaking my whole, and then my bed started shaking. I said, no, there can't be no machinery. There can't be no machinery. That's something bigger than that. And a friend of mine that passed away, that I still talk to his daughter, she said, wow, they're from California. We get it all the time. And Elamine was living out there. He He knows that. He get them all the time. We don't get them in New York, but it shows you, listen, Allah is in charge. I don't care how smart you are, how much money you got, how much you, who you think you are, what your position is. You can be the president. If it shake the White House, it's going to shake you too. Then Allah said, keep playing with me. I'm just giving you a little taste. And it was my sisters in Jersey, they was talking about it. One of my sisters said, it shook a building side to side and up and down. So that's why Allah says, they'd be out at sea, and there's a storm, a hurricane, and they start praying. Oh, just get me back to dry land. I'm going to straighten up my act. Believe you me. And I've been out on the ocean when there was a storm. You know, my father used to fish. He used to like to fish. And my mother would never come with us. So the one time that he convinced her to come with us, there was a storm out there while we were on the boat. And she was really hot. She was really mad, right? It was raining and everything, you know. And you just want to get back to dry land. So Allah said, when you get back to dry land, you forgot about what you were just praying about. He said, don't you think I can send you back out to sea again? He said, and then what? You don't have to be on sea. I can open up the earth right underneath your feet with an earthquake or whatever, right? On the earth that you feel secure standing on. Well, this ain't going nowhere. That's what you think. It ain't going nowhere. So the brother sent me this. He said, it's a must that when there's an earthquake or other signs and occurrences such as an eclipse, which they just had, or powerful winds and floods, the people hasten to repent to Allah, the most perfect, humble themselves before him and ask him for well-being and safety. They should make mention of him plentifully through dhikr and seek forgiveness, just as the prophet, peace be upon him, would say at the time of an eclipse, when you see it taking place, hasten to the remembrance of Allah, dhikr, supplicating to him and seeking his forgiveness. Times it is also recommended to show mercy to the poor and needy and give charity to them due to the saying of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Muslims, we believe in signs, don't we? We believe in signs. Well, as earth, oh, that wasn't nothing. It wasn't. Why you say that? Oh, it's past. You don't think he'd come back again? He could take your whole house down. Take buildings down. Take bridges down. You don't have to run into it with a ship. They start, because of that accident, they're checking all the other bridges now, which they should have been doing. Tell them that. You better show up your infrastructure, or we ain't got money for that. You got money for everything else. Say, I am no bringer of newfangled doctrine among the apostles, nor do I know what would be done with me or with you. I follow but that which is revealed to me by inspiration. I am but a warner, open and clear. So they were telling me, somebody was telling me the other day, oh, this woman, she predicted the future. Allah said, he has not given that to anyone. No man knows in what land they will die and at what time. Oh, but they predicted something. They said something was going to happen. And then you remember when that happened to you? Somebody had predicted it. Allah said, he don't give that to no one. Now, either you believe the woman or you believe Allah. But how did you know that? People just throw things out there. You know something is going to happen. But I didn't say what. So you can believe in them people. And my daughter told me, the guy said, if you send her $40, she said, no, I'm going to send it for you. She said, don't send nothing for me. Please don't send nothing for me. No, if you send her $40, and she got that much power, all she wants is $40. That's worth $40 million. Well, I don't have $40 million. Somebody got it. And somebody would pay her. She could really do it. So don't fall for that. We are Muslims. We believe in the signs of Allah. We believe in the signs of Allah. So, alhamdulillah, we're grateful to Allah blessing us to see another month. We pray Allah that we see the end of the month. We see the Eid, not it, Eid. And we have a message from the conveners of Imams that we want to read to you so that we don't fall into the trap that we always fall into. And that is, Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak. By tradition, Muslims throughout the world will be searching for the Hilal, not the Halal, the Hilal, the new crescent moon, beginning the month of Shawwal, and celebrating the Eid al-Fitr after 29 days of fasting. Remember, a month in the sight of Allah is either 29 or 30 days. So the 29th day, we're going to look for the moon. If we see the moon, it's over. If we don't see the moon, then we know it's 30 days. So they'll look for the moon anyway on 30 days, but it doesn't matter because it can't be more than 30. If you don't see the moon, it's still over, right? I hope we get that. I've been trying to teach us that for the longest, right? It's over when it's over. Whether you see the moon or not on the 30th day, it's over because it can only be 29 or 30 days. Therefore, on Tuesday night, April 9th, believers will be looking for the Hilal. Astronomical projections indicate that there is an extremely high probability the Hilal will be seen with the naked eye in the continental United States, ending the month of Ramadan and beginning the month of Shawwal. Therefore, the month of Ramadan is projected to end Tuesday night and Eid projected. If we see it, then we know it's end over. And Eid al-Fitr is projected for Wednesday, April 10th. Inshallah, we will announce sightings on our website, www.iwdmcommunity.com. The section conveners and imams associated with the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad adhere to the general principle of local sighting within the continental USA with the naked eye. We use Allah's gift of science to help pinpoint when and where naked eye sightings are most likely to be possible to guide our sighting efforts. If the moon is sighted with the naked eye, please contact your local imam, who should then notify their section convener with the details of the sighting. Details. I saw it. Details of the sighting should include the name of the sighters. We want you to be somebody that is known to be trustworthy, and we know you. We don't want no person coming out of the audience, we want somebody that's known. The imam says, I know the brother, good brother, trustworthy sister, I know her. The location, where was it sighted in the sky? And three, cures. Everybody has a phone now. So take a picture. If you saw it with your naked eye, you would take a picture of it. Alhamdulillah. So we pray that Allah will bless all of us with a Eid al-Fitr. Eid is a word that means happiness, recurring happiness. Eid al-Fitr. The feast of the fast breaking, where we can rejoice. And we have two Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So if I don't get a chance to see you until then or talk to you, those that are listening on the radio broadcast or on the Zoom, Eid Mubarak. Alhamdulillah, let us pray. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. O our Lord, grant us goodness, world, and good day after, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Come to Salah. All right, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad says. Don't forget our fundraiser Saturday. Allah, like I said, believe me, this Ramadan has been very special. And they told me this. You went too late. We didn't have enough time to prepare. We're going to shop you. We're going to shop you to make you. Believe me, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Y'all finish as soon as.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
You want to share any information on the event for tomorrow?
Okay. Let's see. Event for tomorrow is. listeners live. That's their little gun somewhere. All right. Well, Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, securing our legacy for the future. Come out and join Masjid Nuruddin at Rochdale Village Community Center, 169-65, 137th Avenue, Jamaica, New York, 11434, April the 6th, 2024, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Guest speakers and special awards, tickets $100. You can Zelle Masjid Nuruddin at 917-416-4175 or Cash App at Masjid Nur, N-U-R. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch with you soon.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. Right. Thank you, Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
All right, everyone, and thank Allah for the khatib this afternoon for Juma, Imam Yusuf Ramadan of New York, Queens, New York, there in Corona, Masjid Nuruddin, and much to be learned or known about Masjid Nuruddin. Praise be to Almighty God. You heard the information. We pray that the blessings come flowing with it, what he shared and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highly glorified his Almighty God to open our minds, our hearts, and our ears, and to really have the sharing resonate with us. And now we're going to go to the commentary of Imam Warthuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah. If you have any questions before we go there, please by all means press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. If you want to just share any comments, press 1 on your phone. This is also our telethon time, so we want everyone to be aware of that. We don't want to press the issue, but we definitely want you to be aware of it. And whatever you have to share, please, by all means, do share during this time of Ramadan. All right? That's by going to CWSC at cwsc.us and click on the PayPal. And if you want it to be a one-time donation, please make sure that you press the right button for that. Otherwise, it will be a monthly recurring amount. And we go to Adias Deprisa Abdul Hadi of Flint, Michigan. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak wa Juma Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, my dear sister Amata Naila, and to the AM360 family. Wa alaikum assalam to you and Ramadan Mubarak and Juma Mubarak. I just wanted to make a quick comment on the Imam's teaching today. As a reminder to us of having patience, you know, because you're going to deal with those family members and maybe if you live somewhere and you got people close up on you, you're going to have to deal with them and their impatience of us going through Ramadan. And I just wanted to comment on that. And alhamdulillah, thanks to the Imam for reminding us of that and to give Juma Mubarak, hey, we almost there. Look at this. I'm excited. Okay.
I mean. Alhamdulillah. And two, on the earthquake that has been noted there in the New York area and being felt in Philadelphia and New Jersey, 4.8 on the Richter scale, Richter being first to monitor the effect of the tremor, which we call an earthquake. We don't know what happens when that occurs, but staying prayerful because we definitely don't know who it will intern, if it should intern someone or something, buildings, vehicles, grounds for sure. But praise be to Almighty God. So thank you, Deprita.
Yes, ma'am. You're more than welcome, my dear. And we send our prayers out. The world is in a turmoil right now to some degree.
Yes, sir.
But turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that He is Al-Mutadir. He is the All-Powerful. So we have no fear, nor shall we grieve, because we are believers. Allah.
Yes, and to that we do say, I mean.
Amen.
You know, and in some instances it has been noted too about the martyr. I received something this morning about martyrdom, not intentionally putting yourself in harm's way. Should that should harm come and you no longer live, you can't live through it, then Almighty God, definitely, the soul is always taken, received by Allah, I'll say it that way, received by Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of life and the receiver of that life. So praise be to Almighty God for ever, ever, ever being the Almighty, the originator and the sustainer, the maintainer, all those attributes that really speak to the one God. Praise be to Almighty God. And we have another caller here, 401-333-323. Assalamu alaikum. Angela Marie.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, Juma Mubarak, and a pre-Ramadan Mubarak. I like to say, please read Zuzalal. I think that's the calamity when the earth is shaking with its shaking. It'll bring forth its burden. Please read Zuzalal. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Fever.
Almighty God for you, Angela Marie. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. May Allah continue to bless us all where we are. All our families. Amen.
Quick. No joke. It'll get rid of all the burden.
Yes.
No joke.
Are you speaking to us? Okay, we're going to go to the commentary for Imam Warsi Muhammad. And this is going to be on the sensitive issues. When Bilal mentioned about 2007, I'm going to February 25th, 2007, on sensitive issues.
Influenced, misguided, defected.
Apparently, I don't see part one, everyone. It's starting off that way. It says part two and part three, but let's go where it is, all right? Inshallah.
Influenced, misguided, defected. But the taqwa is not. The taqwa is not. The taqwa is the constant agent. The fujur is the moving, evolving agent. Like the rising of the sun, before it appears, there is the dawn. There's fajr time. The sun has not appeared yet. In fact, fajr comes when it appears to still be dark outside. And it shows as two parallel lines on the eastern horizon. And they are running parallel perfectly together. Black and white. The black of human nature, the white of human conscience. Oh no, I'm not the show business man. If you came here for hype, you won't get it. And by the way, I'm happy to hear that Minister Farrakhan has been improving steadily. And I pray to Allah, now that he delivers the message in Detroit. Why? Because I know he's the best qualified among them to deliver the message in Detroit. I don't know if they know it, because, you know, they like that cold too. A lot of them are whatever to him. They just like that mountain of stoker coal. But I hope they understand, especially their leaders, I hope they understand that Minister Farrakhan is the best qualified of them. He can attract the people, he can hold the people, and he has made a lot of improvement for the Nation of Islam under his leadership. I sent two statements to him. I was invited to both the Jummah, to join them for Jummah prayer. In fact, they asked me to lead the Jummah, and I was invited to the Sunday address that they are having at the same time we are having this address. They are just an hour behind us. So whatever time it is now, it's an hour later for them. Let's see. I got a nice watch here one of you all gave me. It's real nice. I only wear it on very special occasions. Yes, so it's close to 4:15 there. Close to 4:15. Never forget that we were formed. Actually, we were created in that model that had its own language. And for those that are in Detroit, that has its own language. That model that has its own language called Temple of Islam. We were put in a special language environment. Don't see the walls or the physical structure and everything like we have here. Don't see that as the real temple of Islam. That's not the real temple of Islam. Those walls can't do anything for you. The real temple of Islam is the language and the communication that that language brought to your intelligence and your behavior. That's the real temple. That's why I say temple in animation. Continuing now, the definition of nous, common sense alertness. To help this explanation for the term nostalgia should be understood. Nostalgia is inherent, inborn, in your own nature when you come into the world. Inherent as an expression having its origin in the soul or in the nous. Nous and soul are not the exact same. They're not the same. But soul is the whole life. Your soul is the whole life. Scientists are students of the soul. Like the Greek philosopher Socrates and many others in different religions. I want to share this with you right now. This particular focus that we have right now on the human life in its best nature, in its best value, is in the religion. That are really out of the family, are out of the Abrahamic families of faiths. Judaism, Christianity, Islam. That's the Abrahamic family of faiths. But also the religion of Buddhism, the religion of Hinduism, and even others that have branched off from some of these larger ones. They all have the same perception of the original man, the black man. The black man is not a physical man. The black man is every man. When some racist prejudice came out in the presence of the prophet, because one of his companions or followers in his immediate circle of friends or circle of people, he spoke derogatively of Bilal. And the prophet said, we all are Bilal. Meaning, racist fool, if you think he's inferior because he's black, you don't know the meaning of black in scripture. We all are black. What does the gospel say of Mary when the angel came to inform her that she was going to give birth to a special child? Peace be on the mother and her child. The gospel says that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Preacher, you know a spirit doesn't cast a shadow. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she became pregnant with child. Ooh. It ain't enough room in here for me to shout. I go straight up through that ceiling. Thank God I'm not allowed to display body language in that extreme. I like it too, man. Yeah, it's good. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the mother, the Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, peace be upon them, and she became pregnant with child. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, cast a shadow. What color is a shadow? Oh, answer me. I don't hate you. Answer me. Okay, black. Your original black man. You got it? Well, I can turn that page down. Today, on this February 25, I didn't say 25th. On this February 25, 2007, our nous with our valence is as a fertile field being plowed for a soon abundant harvest in moral excellence and economic life increase. I promise you that. And God has authorized me to promise you that, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. Now I want to turn to another focus here. The United States' uniqueness as a nation, or as a people more so than as a nation. And I give you another definition now, virility. Definition in the dictionary, manhood, manly, vigor, V-I-G-O-R. Manhood, manly vigor. When we see the condition of our males, black brothers, when we see the condition of our males in this time that we're living in, that condition does not say to us manhood, that condition does not say to us manly vigor. Vigor means excited energy. Energy ready to accomplish things. We want another definition now. Transcendence. Definition, quote, extending beyond the limits of ordinary experience. Again, transcendence. Extending beyond the limits of ordinary experience. God says to us, he's the one who khalaqa, created. Khalaqa fasawwa. He created, and the condition of creation that he calls created equality and balance. Fasawwa. Then he says, qaddara fahada. Qaddara fahada. He empowered the human soul and intellect to achieve transcendency. Transcendency. We are marching, marching up the King's Highway. We are marching, marching, marching all the day with our Savior, the Universal King. Up the highway! We are ascending because we have been conditioned by a master teacher, WD-40. Huh? He has conditioned our soul, our sensitivities, our human sensitivities. He has conditioned our intellect. He has conditioned our essence, our valence, our taqwa, and our fujur. He has conditioned it to ascend. Ah. And what is that ascension for? It is to give us height. Lift us up to the highest regions so we get the fullest picture of our life down here on this earth. Huh? And then come back down with a plan and a blueprint and be successful in rising up a great people who will have community life excellence. Allahu Akbar. God is the greatest. As to where Mr. WD-40 found us, and then see how his doings, his works, have influenced our life to bring Elijah Muhammad, whose education was just 3 years, in a time when education for blacks was nothing in Georgia when he was a boy. Only 3 years of formal education. And Mr. Farrar saw in him great intelligence, great worth, and made him his supreme minister. That's what he called him firstly, his supreme minister. Yes? And made my father's brother, my Uncle Kalat, his supreme captain over the FOI. Yes? And if they would see how the works of that man that was put in the hands of my father to establish it and bring about progress, and how his son has come into his works, not by my own choice, but by Mr. Farrar's plan. Oh, yeah. He told my father and mother, how would I know? They told me. He told my father and mother, said, keep your promise that you will raise him and let him, he used the word L-E-T, and let him help us in this work. So that's what I was told of the boy. That language passes by a boy. A boy doesn't have enough developed mind and experience to really register that kind of language. So when he told me, it didn't register on me, not on my mind, and not on my feelings. You think I felt as a child, that's great. I'm going to be a great man. God knows that never touched me. Nothing like that ever touched me. But when I look at my life now, see my Imam, W.D. Muhammad, in the Vatican as a guest of John Paul II, and with people, as far as you can look, there are people standing all in the streets everywhere. Yes? And I'm the only Muslim leader there. The one that they thought was not a true Muslim. Huh? Praise be to Allah. I'm the only one there representing Islam from America. Only one. And when I look now at the invitation that just came to me on my desk from the Wisdom University, it's called the Wisdom University. And its representatives and supporters include the son of John F. Kennedy. I mean, the son of Robert Kennedy. Yes, Robert Kennedy Jr. And many others, perhaps among them some of more notoriety than Robert Kennedy. Yes? And they invited me there. They invited me there to see what I got in me? No. They invited me there because they like what they saw and see in me. And they didn't ask, how do I know that? I know that because they're not asking me to just come there. The president of the organization told me that we are not wanting you just to come for one time. We're hoping that you will join us for a long time. When I became minister, see, people study important things that appear on the terrain of the United States of America or anywhere. They're international-minded people that watch the terrain constantly to see what is developing on the terrain. And if they see something important to them, they will try to make contact with it. Yes? So they knew the Nation of Islam. This was immediately after I became leader. And soon as the news hit the media that the son of Elijah Muhammad, Wallace D. Muhammad, had become the leader of the Nation of Islam, I received from the International Society of Metaphysics an invitation to join them. An invitation to join them. Now the ones sent that invitation, I see them now as angels. Angels in men. Angels saying, let us take this new child and bring him into our society and prepare him to be a great, successful leader. We see that whoever gave them that language knew the language of metaphysics. So we would like to take this new leader and prepare him for his future. Allah wouldn't let my spirit go that way. I never answered them. And angels don't follow you up when you turn them down. They know why, and they leave you to your own spirit. and I thank them for being angels. But this invitation, I have accepted. I will not turn it down. And if I see opportunity to work with them, I'm going to work with them for the benefit of all mankind. Oh, you going to leave us? No. Being with you is what got me the invitation. I'm going to stay with you and get more invitations. One of the leaders that I met with, a female, in my travel and in my answering appointments and invitations. It was a big high-level meeting, and this European woman, I don't like to say white, it just perpetuates racism. I like to say European and American. I like to say black American, African American. African-American, that's what I prefer, because it doesn't influence the perpetuation of racism. It acts as a healing agent when you take the charge words out. All right. Yes. So we were leaving the meeting that we had, and she came up to me. Now, I knew I had enough acquaintance with her for her not to be insulting. We were considering each other friends, so she had the right to come up to me the way she did. She said, "Imam Muhammad," white woman, European American. She said, "Imam," I said that for your benefit, white woman, for I know white means more than European to you. The expression white woman means a lot more than European American to you. I'm talking to you Mandingos out there. So she said to me, she said, "Imam, when are you going to leave your community? They can't appreciate you." Isn't that something? When are you going to leave your community? They can't appreciate you. Now, you that are able to, you have the experience and the knowledge. Why don't you work harder to raise the level of intelligence in our community? Some of you are afraid to see your community graduate. You're afraid to see your community elevated in the knowledge because you're a piece of stoker coal. I ain't here to hurt anybody. So don't start your cheerleader stuff here. You can't influence me. I'm not here to hurt anybody. Now, I believe, yes, we are on the United States of America's uniqueness, and not referring to the government more than I'm referring to the American people. America's Constitution, doctrine that is, has a virility that gives it a constant transcendence for prevailing against the troubled times. If you had the insight that many have who have studied our Constitution, especially the language of the Founding Fathers, you would have a much better appreciation and respect for the United States of America and for its people. Is there any evidence that America has that nature in its doctrine and in its people who live by that doctrine or stand by that doctrine? Yes, there is. The time of Warren Harding, Warren G. Harding, the time of Warren G. Harding was a time, a bad time for our government. There was great corruption in our government. Behind that, almost immediately behind that period, came the Roaring Twenties. If you know something of the Roaring Twenties, it was a time similar to this time when the tendency in the people is to just let go and have fun and let lust take over their lives. A similar time, the Roaring Twenties. And also, following that, almost at the same time, the Wall Street crash. But these terrible events, coming like one behind another, rapid fire, did not prevail over the Constitution's doctrinal virility. No, did not prevail. Praise be to Allah. So there's a constancy in the life of this nation, the United States of America. There's that erratic thing too, but there's the constant energy for the preservation of the nation, the government, order, and the American people. The prophet had revelation given to him, guidance given to him, to give us scholarly insight so we would find the tools for building our world that will stand by the best of worlds and endure for as long as the earth abides. Those tools in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet, in his uswa, his human nature and life as a model. God says, for all who believe in God and the last day. Didn't say for Muslims. It said for all who believe in God and the last day. I mean, they believe in God, and they believe in being accountable to God. The last day brings to your mind the judgment. They believe in God, and they are conscious of the judgment. They believe in being accountable to their God, their Lord, Allah, the creator of everything. So the fujur and the taqwa, wa alhamaha fujuraha, and the God that created the soul created it with an agent to carry its fujur and its taqwa, its energy and principle for progressing it. So it goes outward into the societies of mankind. And it's taqwa, so it ascends upward to higher regions of consciousness, in consciousness and consciousness, so that it becomes equipped to come back down, carry out this responsibility to its God, to improve the life, the community life of mankind on this planet Earth. Are these sensitive issues? They're sensitive for your intelligence and your human heart, but they're also sensitive for non-members. Non-members. That's why I didn't want any but the members here. If there are any others, I accept African-American Christians that they be here. But for them, now, if they can get in here, if they come in here, they just like you. A lot of those preachers, they wouldn't dare come in here. They don't want anybody to see them doing anything that make them think that they are pleased with the Muslim being in America and having the freedom of religion. Man, if we had black Christians as our president, we would have no more freedom of religion in this country. Because the leaders among them, they watch us like a hawk. Watch a chicken. Now, a hawk will fly over a prey for a long time. But he's going to watch it. Now, don't let him get hungry. Hawk get hungry, swoop down on you. And pity you. But if they knew what was going on in here, they would dismiss all that other stuff, all their fears of us advancing and getting more of the African-American community with us. They get rid of all that fear and everything. Well, they ain't got a teacher on this planet that can give them what I'm giving you. And believe me, most of them know that. You don't know it, but most of them know it. You don't know it because you're too low to the ground. You haven't ascended. Okay, again, now we turn to race conscience and pride failures. Race conscience and pride failures. And we're going to use a word here that I have to give you a definition of. I told you we have a running vocabulary here. Definition of sludge, spelled S-L-U-D-G-E, sludge. Definition, quote, mud, mire, or ooze, covering the ground or forming a deposit as on a riverbed. As on a riverbed. Now, what is a river? Messianic flow in the human spirit. It's a roaming messenger in the human spirit. Where did it come from? Like Moses, it come down from the mountain. Where is it going? Where water levels off. Sludge. So in the Quran, we are told how foam and frost and impurity is churned up by the water or pushed out by the water. Like the metal boiling pot of the metal worker. He puts the metals in the pot to melt them so that they will be fluid and he can make molds for them and shape whatever he wants, making different things, huh? And Allah says in the Quran, and the frost is pushed up to the surface to be thrown out. Impurities. All of these pictures have had reference to the microcosm, which is the soul. The great learned people, they see two creations. They see the natural creation of things in nature, material bodies, Jupiter, whatever, Earth and everything. They see all of that as the macrocosm, macrocosm. And they see the human world as the microcosm. Micro, as you know, means small. Any of you with high school diploma, you should know what micro means. Micro means small, miniature. Macro means large. Yes, the bigger. So all of the language you will find in Scripture is addressing, importantly, the world of the human soul, the microcosm, the microcosm. And that's told in the Quranic language that goes like this. Man, do not think that your creation is a bigger creation than the world. You are the microcosm. That's what Allah revealed to Muhammad, to tell them they are the microcosm, not the macrocosm. Our life forms of the macrocosm. We can't have life unless it comes out of material world. Human life, as every other life, is born in and comes out of the material world. That is the macrocosm. The macrocosm produces or supports the microcosm coming into a being, coming into life. But isn't it wonderful how Allah checks our importance that may make our head too big and destroy us before we reach the purpose that God made us for, huh? So Allah checks that. Most High is He. He checks that by telling us your world, your human existence, is not a bigger matter with God than the creation of the heavens and earth. Because you, I created that universe to birth you. The microcosm. But the things that I created, like matter and plants and animals, those things have not received of my spirit a communication for a free mind or human intellect. So I've created you, though you are smaller than the universe, I've created you to engage the universe, all of it, with your intelligence and your heart. Yes, with your intelligence in your heart. وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا وَرَحْمًا. He has created and extended, caused all his creation to grow and expand upon what rule of knowledge or principle? That you engage it with your intelligence, but out of respect for the share that every human being in the family of man is entitled to. So don't be selfish with the knowledge when you get it. Be compassionate. Be compassionate. Wa rahmah, and compassion. Mercy, compassionate mercy. So you have to embrace, you have to engage this creation with your intelligence and with your heart. The two have to constantly work together so that your intelligence does not cause problems for the human heart, and so that the human heart is not left blind. Huh? Two working together. So the intelligence does not go off the track of moral excellence and hurt the world of human beings or persons. And so that the heart will have light and not be blind. Oh, I love Nat Cole. I used to sing all his songs. Jill can sing most of them. You might not want to listen to me, but I can sing most of them. He said, my foolish heart isn't the condition that we see in our people in the public life and at home too. Isn't it an indication that the intelligent, decent, moral heart that we got from our first leaders who were trying to bring us up from slavery, isn't that heart absent in them? They have foolish hearts. Most of them have foolish hearts. All right, race conscience and pride failures. I gave definition of sludge. Mud, mire, or ooze covering the ground or forming a deposit as on a riverbed. What is the importance of the riverbed? Jonah is a sign. Not Jonah. Yes, Jonah. Jonah was the one who was swallowed by the big fish, right? Jonah in the belly of the whale. Yes, he's the one. It's in the Quran as well, in the Bible and in the Quran. And he was swallowed by the big fish, and the big fish spat him out upon the shore. The shore. The riverbed. The shore. But you know they don't swim in rivers. But for us to understand the religious guidance, we should see it as a riverbed. Spat him out upon the shore. And I'm sure the persons who wrote that, they had in mind the Nile River. The Nile River. The Nile River rises and falls. And when it rises, it throws out mud, sludge, but rich, what they call it? Luvian. Soil. I think that's the word for it. It's the rich soil that covers the ground or the land. Topsoil. We call it topsoil. But there's another word. Luval or something like that. I don't know. No, it starts with an L. Anyway, that's not the more important in our direction we're going in. So let me keep on going in this direction. Yes. And because that is thrown up out of the river, when the river rises, that area have what is called the fertile crescent. That's how it's identified in geography. And at one time in history, Egypt was the breadbasket of the whole world. Egypt had advanced over the whole world in a similar way that we see America, the United States, over most of the world, all of the world. The richest nation on earth today is the United States, and it's been holding that position for a long time. Doesn't mean it's going to keep it, but it's been holding it for a long time. Yes. So, what accounted for Egypt being so wealthy and rich, I think two things. It had a culture that could captivate the mind of any ordinary person, educated or not. When people came into that culture environment, and it's magnetic field, its attraction on the mind and heart and life of a human being. They were so captivated, it's almost like they were hypnotized. and that culture carried their mind and their life. Carried their mind and their life. The language of their culture was so, what is the word for it? Was so much constituted as kryptonite, granite, even harder, kryptonite, that it baffled them. Right now, do you know it started maybe 100 years ago or more? Intelligent researchers from Europe and America going to Egypt, just going to Egypt, trying to break the code of that ancient language, hieroglyphics. They were trying to break the code, and they're still working on breaking the code. They haven't broken it, but they've gotten a lot out of it. They have translated, been successful to translate some of that language, that ancient language. But most of it, they haven't been able to translate. And you know what it is? Picture language. Picture language. They use objects in creation, like the sunrise, or moon in the sky, in a night sky, and many other things they have. So it's the language of symbolism, metaphors, without plain talk. Plain talk. And believe me, that's what the Bible is for most of you all. Kryptonite. The mother was told, and flee to Egypt with your child. Now, let me connect this part right here. Sludge, muck, mire, ooze covering the ground or forming a deposit on a riverbed. If I would ask any of my brothers, I have one sister still living, only had two. My mother only had two girls and six boys, total of eight of us. If I would ask any of them living, and all of them are living except one, my sister Ethel, may God give her peace in paradise. If I would ask any of them, how did you spell your name? For most of your youth, your young years, and how did you pronounce it? They would say, we spelled it M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. That's what Mr. W.D. Forty left with us. M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. That was on my father's license when he died, driver's license. On my birth certificate that I got, my father, Elijah Muhammad. They didn't say pool. Now, that's wonderful, that indeed. My name and put it on my birth certificate. Have it put on my birth certificate. Elijah Muhammad. And my mother, Clara Evans Muhammad. Now, they put her middle name or her maiden name on my certificate, on my birth certificate. Clara Evans Muhammad. And my name, on my birth certificate, Wallace D. M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. I don't know why that should be a sensitive issue, but for some few of you all, it is. Every now and then, somebody in the audience, when I'm speaking, I was in Philadelphia speaking to an audience, mostly non-Muslims. No, I don't say that. It was 50-50, about 50-50. But I was invited to address an audience of non-Muslims. But we had a good number there, and mostly all youngsters. It was the audience was at Benjamin Franklin High School in Philadelphia, a high school that in recent times was named for Malcolm. It was called Malcolm X High School. And the youngsters there, led by a very impressive, intelligent, young African-American lady, they have managed to convince them to change the authorities, to change the name back to Malcolm X. So in a few weeks, it's going to be Malcolm X again. Yes, yes, which is good. That should make us happy. Yes, that's our history. There's no Malcolm in any other history except ours. I'm telling you, there's no Malcolm in any other history except ours. If he impressed black people, he impressed them while he was speaking for the honor of Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. Now, that might be a sensitive issue, but one thing is for sure, something wrong with our history writers, our African-American history writers, if they want to take the honor of Elijah Muhammad out of our history and try to set up Malcolm, when Malcolm was in prison serving a 14-year sentence for being a pimp and a hustler on the streets of New York, Harlem. And it was all of Elijah Muhammad's message that woke him up, stirred his energy, and brought him to come to the honor of Elijah Muhammad and be taught how to speak to our people. No, credit is due to the person that deserves it and has earned it. Don't give another man the earnings that's due another man. Take the earnings of one man and give it to somebody else that didn't earn it. I'm not knocking Malcolm. I love the man. My brother Elijah Muhammad loved the man. We loved the man. My mother loved the man. He came to my house, and what my mother say to us? She say, he's like my son, too. She let us know her respect for him and her appreciation. She said, he is like my son, too. And that's a real mother. And that's a real wife. That has her husband's work and interest in her heart. And if she see you supporting it, you're endeared so much that she will tell her own children, her own boys, he's my son too. I got to speed this up now. Our burning passion for race pride rides the back of spiritual insecurity. Yes, we are not the way we were in the early days of this history of black people. We used to have a potent, energetic spirit. But now, spiritual insecurity rides us. As a people up from slavery, it is expected that we would be united as relay runners in a race for all that is good. Quote, a race for all that is good. Allah invites us in our holy book, say, be together in a race for all that is good. Sadly, as a majority, our leaders are treacherous hawks. Yeah. They hover above the heads of leaders who belong to a different spiritual life. They have treacherous alliances. And their treachery mark their professions and show their books on the history of black Americans to be bogus. As a people up from slavery, it would seem that this majority representing our people would be contributing to journalist excellence. So there's no journalist excellence to be respected when they leave out something as important in African American history as the rise of the community of Muslims from the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Again, sadly, this is not true of them, of our so-called journalists, African-American journalists, writing news, making newspapers, writing newspapers and books, and Lerone Bennett putting out big volumes on the history of black people in America from the Mayflower. Then he came with another one after that, another big volume, and did everything he could to ignore the great new model of human community life, the Nation of Islam, and the following of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. That make the pages of their book nothing but trash for the waste bucket. I would love to support Lerone Bennett. In fact, I bought his book. I love him. I met him in person twice or three times. But when I look at what they are producing and calling it literature, calling it history, I'm telling you, it cramps my style. Makes me want to act ugly. Kick somebody in the rear. And that's not of my nature, so I just put it out of my sight. All right. We come to now the issue of negativism. And Dr. King's spirit. Dr. King's spirit, Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. King's spirit calls on us to be accountable. Dr. King left with us his faith in the people of America. Dr. King lived progress, not negativism. Dr. King's faith is homegrown. The roots are in liberty's best history. It is a history with a window to a living room, a skyscraping American people, towering American people. Our history is a history of slavery. But we fail to register some of the things in slavery that can contribute to us not becoming negative but staying positive. A slave master and his wife, who gave their slave Frederick Douglass books to read to put Frederick Douglass on the road to education and statesmanship, that's a positive, even in the history of slavery. That's a positive. Our history is also a history of abolitionists who were European Americans, whites, Brother Mandingo, white Christian Quakers and others. We know how Jews, going with our people in the segregated South to change them from segregating, open their minds, open their hearts, to force them, put pressure on them to get rid of the system of segregation and discrimination. And how two of the Jewish men were killed. helping us, along with an African American, also killed. But much further back in our history, there was John Brown. He knew he couldn't defeat America with a few men. He knew he was going to lose his life and all those that they could catch who were supporting him. He knew they were going to lose their life, and I'm sure he told them. Now, you know, he didn't have to tell a black man, you're going to lose your life. Black man knew they were going to die. They just accept to die. Now, is that something that we should just skip over? Nat Turner, he led a rebellion, an open, violent rebellion. And they destroyed him. Don't you know he knew he was going to be destroyed? So what were they doing? They were putting their precious life, their precious blood, into the soil of our microcosm, hoping that it would be energizing life, that their death would be a living force, energizing life in our microcosm, to lift our souls up higher and to make our souls strong enough to continue the sacrifice to arrive for arriving at the destiny, community freedom. Yes. We can't talk about saviors and leave out the man they call the wild man. Yeah. Some history books say he was a wild man. They picture him as a wild, crazy man. But I've seen other pictures that other people have had, that other people had. I've seen other pictures of him in picture books where he looked very civilized and intelligent. So we can't leave John Brown out of our history. And you do know that when I was a boy, John Brown was still in our conscience. I heard little children sing, John Brown's body lies a-resting in his grave, a-resting in his grave, but his spirit is marching on. And that is the cause or the purpose for which saved just die. They know they're going to be killed, many of them. Some don't die, are not killed. But they know that they're risking their lives when they make their sacrifice to give their life to the world or to the people that need it for their future and their leadership, success for their leadership. So this is Savior's Day. But let us remember, we have had many saviors. But the one that has triggered our energy burst in our microcosm, no doubt, Mr. W.D. 40. Why don't he say Mr. W.D. Farrar? Because that name, I'm going to get to it, is not now as easily understood as the expression that I've given to his name, for his name, W.D. 40. Now, all of you with cars, you know W.D. 40, don't you? Yes. And he anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. clean off. It is a history with a window to the living room of skyscraping America. And we shouldn't forget any that have contributed, made sacrifices and contributed to us making progress on the road to destiny, manifest destiny. Issue again, negativism. Subtopic, mood swings in the spirit, triggered by changing circumstances. Definition, contrivance, to contrive, to bring about by stratagem or with difficulty, to make schemes. Dictionary definition that I just gave. And another word, conciliation. To conciliate. To become friendly or agreeable. Another word, subterfuge. Deception. By artifice or stratagem in order to conceal, escape, or evade, subterfuge. The last word, I think you know the spelling of the others, but the last word is spelled S-U-B-T-E-R-F-U-G-E. S-U-B-T-E-R-F-U-G-E. Now, we go over the text again. The journey has encountered long periods of suffering and short periods of relief with some measure of progress. Our journey in the path to community freedom. That's the manifest destiny. Community freedom. It's not freedom alone. That's how come we've gotten off track. That's how come we have not been focused the way our first leaders focused us. It's because we're just going to freedom. Freedom is a If you're looking just for freedom, freedom is a blind road. That's all it is. And where do you end up? Look at your people. That's where you end up. Oh, you don't have to like what I'm doing. You don't have to respect what I'm doing. You don't have to value what I'm doing. What I'm doing is going up to the highest heavens. And big people, much bigger than you, are going to see that my language is published and made available to all people. Not just here, it's going outside of the United States. Already, big people in a country that I won't even tell you about are waiting that the book hit the scene in America. Because I know so many of you all, you're so petty and small-minded. You have a poison in you that shrinks your brain, shrinks your heart, shrinks your soul. So you're shrinking out of sight. We won't be seeing you for too long. It's a shame. I love you, but you're terrible. I can feel your jealousy and hate. Thick. So let me repeat. The journey has experienced long periods of suffering and short periods of relief with some measure of progress. When we look at the people, men and women, rising in the corporate world, rising in government from among us, even from among our community, the community that is associated with my Imam, Radical Dean Muhammad. We are rising. For our small numbers, we already have an impressive percentage of the positions of power for our people in this country. We already have an impressive percentage. So you can't despair me. And I think Satan's got you, because you couldn't be that bad without Satan's help. And Allah says in the Quran that this religion has been completed. And Satan has despaired. He's given up all hopes of defeating the Prophet's mission to bring Islam and establish it for community life. He has despaired. He's given up hope. So what does the Prophet say? He said he has given up hope of defeating us in big matters, but watch him in small matters. And that's where he gets you, in small matters. But for many, he's still working in big matters. Plantation slavery was the longest period of suffering. Reconstruction, important issue. Reconstruction was a deceptive maneuver for directing the rage of a defeated and embittered South toward its free slaves. When studied to know its effect on the enslaved who were put in power by the victorious Army of the North. The South bosses, doing bosses who were boss before the defeat, during Reconstruction, were now blacks, blacks in the Army of the North. They replaced the white bosses. And this was the doing of the Union Jack, the doing of the Army of the North. When this change, putting the defeated masters under the slaves, is duly understood, the two peoples may come to see themselves as inmates in suffering. This observation offers medicine for further healing. This observation should not offer a pretext for holding up the North in disfavor. Going to another similar issue or situation. We regret the dirty bombs dropped on defeated Japan. The decision was the doing of the military and the presidency at that time. The Americans did not have a voice in that decision. The observation is the same for that deceptive contrivance named Reconstruction. A nation, after a victory in war with its own people, would have done best by immediately planning a period of conciliation. Further burdening race relations, the journey to freedom was a subject of subterfuge from the day of its birth. Warred against by very clever, treacherous minds in our society. And right now, if you have an effort to establish your own community leadership, there are those that are planning all kind of subtle means to defeat your purpose. So we should be praying to Allah not five times a day, not just in congregational prayer. We should be making du'as all the day long, as many of you do, many of you good ones do. We should be making du'as all the day long. And the best du'a for us in this situation we are in America is, O Allah, make Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad successful. As you did, make Abraham and the followers of Abraham successful. Let me make it a little more clear. As you did, make the Jews and the Christians successful. That's who they are. The followers of Abraham are the Jews and the Christians. And we are given that special prayer so that we won't lose the script connection with the script that went before it, the Torah and the Gospel. And so we won't lose our identity as a community related to the community of Jews and Christians. Thank you, my brother. Yes, we should glorify God and express our appreciation in our souls for what God has done. God has not made trouble for people. God has situated people to have peace. We make trouble for people with our ignorant reading of what God revealed. Our journey to community freedom has been a journey of freedom soldiers, men and women, in combat with seen and unseen opposition forces. That's why we have in the last of the Quran, what we need to know and have success. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ مِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبَ وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدَ. Seek protection from God. And the last is from the envious ones. When they're envious, envy becomes intense. Issue still, negativism. Subtopic, opposition tactic. How the spirit is set up for death. The news media generally give exposure to exciting leaders. They want to get commercial. They want a big audience to pay to be so that the big boys, the big rich boys, will pay for time. Pay them big money for time to sell their products or whatever. So if they don't have many viewers, the big boys don't want to publish or don't want to sell their products on television, on that particular station or that particular channel. So they're forced by the need for money. They are forced to put on television what get more viewers. Now, slow up with me, please. I could stay here with you until the sun go down and come up again. God knows I can. But I don't want to do that. I want to hurry you out of here. Because you haven't set your priorities yet. So I want to get you out of here quick. All right. So they know that, okay? So if that's their position that they're in, tell me who is benefiting most from television being available to the American people in the world? The powerful and the rich. Or the rich and the powerful. Huh? And because big money has such an importance as a factor here, your little thing can't get on TV. Even though it be a big thing, bigger than all that they got on television. Don't you know the work of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his son, Radical Dean Muhammad, is bigger than all that they got on television? Ain't nothing on television bigger than this work. And that's what I know to be a fact. Say, well, what about the good Christians? They're doing the same. No. The good Christians have not been given a strategy and a stratagem that definitely promise success for the soul and life and community of our people. They don't have that. So they are not nearly as important as a life in America over what we are doing. Mm-mm. No way. And I know we have some excellent Christian leaders. Excellent. They're also learned. They're doctors of psychology. They know sociology. But when they come from their sources, they ain't no match for Imam Radical Dean Muhammad coming from our sources. I ain't bragging. I'm a medicine man. Set up the spirit. The news media generally give exposure to the exciting leaders, spelling trouble for the status quo. Now, these leaders are just elected because they are trouble for the status quo. Now, if the status quo is pleasing for them, for the big bosses, then they don't want someone disturbing the status quo. They want someone supporting the status quo. Huh? So these special leaders are picked because they don't disturb the waters that the big boys are watching. Okay? Now don't forget the waters. I told you I had a dream. And that special person in that dream invited me to stand up on the waters. And I did. Okay? All right. So let me get back to the text here. If they don't make news, if they're not exciting to make news, they don't reach TV, for our people in the public, they don't even exist. They are nobody. But if they make it big on television, they suddenly become a leader for our people. Now, there's something missing in us when we let that happen. So the freedom to have our own choices has been taken from us by the big popular media. Now they are supporting, the media is supporting Barack Obama. I could kiss their shoe for doing that. Because that's a great man for the leadership. And I haven't seen him, so I don't think he paid me something. He's asking for money. He's not giving any money. And I will give him a share of my little money. That's for sure. Because the only thing I want for Hillary Clinton is that she stay on a hill. And why do I say that? Her husband is a great man. He's a great leader. He was a great president. And if some little slut, I didn't want to say the other word, some little slut managed to have him get involved sexually, no matter how much it hurt her, when the TV came to her to tell her what has happened, I asked her how does this affect your life, she should have said, what you're talking about? How does what? And refused to say any more to them. Should have told them, no, I don't care to have anything to say to you. And the American people would have got the message that I'm not going to help you wreck this good man's life. Aren't we told as Christian people to be forgiving? To be forgiving? Forgiving? And as Muslim people to be forgiving? And we don't look at just one thing in you. We look at that thing in you that somebody's pointing us to in view of the whole of you. That's how God judges. God judges. God doesn't judge you by one speck in you. He judges you by your whole life. And if you're good outweighs your bad, God says you can go to his paradise. Now what's wrong with us? So the judgment of people is cruel. The judgment of God is kind. The power of the media to lift up to public view its choice for leadership does more than popularize the person. It also glamorizes the person and contributes to deceptive status achievement. Deceptive status achievement. The result is a false sense of status. Deny a leader media attention, and the spirit slumps down into disappointment, his spirit. But if he has great influence among our people, down also goes our spirit. Huh? So look how powerful media can control and shape the spirit and life and destiny of a people. So when we say destiny lost, you should know how it comes about. The psychology for deciding the outcome of a community's best effort is firstly to make the ill-fated leader. What do I mean by ill-fated leader? They have to first see a defect in him. If he can't contribute directly to what their interests and what they want, then they will raise him up if they see a defect in him that they know it will eventually destroy him. They know he's not going to last too long. They know his contribution to our freedom, life, and struggle will be temporarily, and we will be lost again. So they raise him up. Firstly, to make the ill-fated leader the popular choice and condition them, the community ego for disappointment. So we don't have any energy to support the work for community freedom and the manifest destiny. We don't have energy for it. Now you know why. Subtopic, opposition tactics, continuing. Topic, negativism, continuing. Sometimes a good and innocent leader is a victim of this mass media tactic. I recall how being seen on television put another spirit in the fruit of Islam, the FOI, in the fruit of Islam officers. It has been said that TV exposure can become addictive. Addictive. You know, they make us think that what causes addiction is drugs that you get from a drug pusher or from the drugstore. What is addictive is caffeine, maybe, nicotine, cigarettes. I've told you all, and I'll tell you again today, the worst of addiction that does more damage in the life of a people, the drugs that you don't see in religion and in the culture of society. Many can be made or formed into something to wreck progress, to wreck our progress, and also to wreck the life of our leaders or our representatives. Again, we turn to valence. The core of the soul is its valence. The life can lose the support of all its properties and remain constituted, whole, and established in its valence. This is going to be made available in print. It's going to be DVDs, and it's going to be put in print. It deserves not one hearing. It deserves to be read over and over again and studied carefully. Whether you know it or not, I'm leaving with you a document more helpful to you than the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down for the mountain was for them. Valence, definition, again, a purpose or motive, an appearance assumed. No, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong definition. I'm sorry. Valence, I guess we didn't put it. Should be here. No, it's not here. Maybe it'll come later. Okay. The next term for our running vocabulary is pretext. Meaning a purpose or motive alleged or an appearance assumed in order to cloak the real intention or state of affairs. A pretext. Stand up a pretext upon the ground floor of the human soul. In time, the soul will lose vitality and fall. A pretext. However, its nous, having been put in the bright light of truth, the life force can connect again with its once positive ego and then go forward for the final liberation, completing the journey to community freedom. Destroy this temple, and I'll build it back up in 3 days. Remember, the journey to freedom is a journey to community freedom. Arriving at that end satisfies all the needs in the soul. This end cannot be reached by a people who permit adverse influences to shape their life and rob them of their moral innocence. Issue again, the moral imperative. Subtopic, trendsetters. With this observation, we turn now to address the issue of culture and socially transmitted behavioral trends. How most will behave is tied to dress wear and music, or dress wear and music market trends. In the magnetic field of the above influences, social mixing and crowd preferences breed new mindsets, new crowds. That's what we see. That's what we're looking at now when we're looking at the sad picture of our masses. In today's culture of moral corruption, our Southland old-fashioned wisdom is a savior to turn to and have many lives saved. Believers, God says, quote, believers, save your own souls and your families from hell's exploding fiery passions. They ain't up in the mystery sky. They're not down somewhere deep in the earth. All this thing is happening right on the surface, right in broad daylight. They say, they say the devil is so elusive. The devil can't be seen. Allah says the devil is your open enemy. He's not hidden. Your open enemy. Now you can't find Mr. George and say he's a devil, though he look like in the face like the people you think should be called devils. Donald Elijah Muhammad says, don't go out thinking you can find the devil and kill the devil. Say, my Savior said, leave that to him. Because he knew his wisdom and language. He knew his hidden exegesis. And we didn't know it till this glorious day, February. February. You're gonna hear me call, you're gonna hear me speaking that. So you say, he say the imam doesn't even know how to pronounce the word February. Say yes he does. And say it's February. Yeah. A liar has put a lie into our life. It is the root of all of our worries. So, the deliverer comes in that month. Huh? Meaning he comes into the lie that is burdening your life and your soul to free you from the lie so you will have a free soul to go to your community destiny. Oh, it's wonderful, brother. It is wonderful. I kind of wish no Christians are listening to me right now, especially if they have a big congregation, because this is strong. And I don't want to see them leave that congregation. If they're doing a good job, I want them to stay with their congregation. With this observation, we turn to address the issue of culture and socially transmitted behavior trends. How most will behave is tied to dress wear, music market trends. In the magnetic field of the above influences, social mixing and crowd preferences breed new mindsets, new crowds. In today's culture of moral corruption, our Southland old-fashioned wisdom is a savior to turn to and have many lives saved. Then God says to us in our holy book, believers, save your own souls and your families from hell's exploding fiery passions. I know what it says. It says not. But God has blessed me to know what the seed this fire. And I know it's more than just fire. It's not the fire that you get when you put stoker coal in the furnace. No, it's not that. It's the fire you see in the public lust. Huh? Lust for sex and fun. That's the fire. That's the hell. And aren't they in hell? If one of our children get lost to it, a shield, an invisible shield, is put between us and them. Our heart cannot touch them. Our intelligence can't reach them. And if that's not a description of hell, saying those that will be saved, they will look at hell from a distance. And it will be as though there was a partition separating them from the wicked. We should not be lost in mind, unable to locate this prophetic picture of hell. It is in America today. Some of our leaders are frightened in their, some of our leaders are frightened.